Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of two of my favorite people, Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. Now, Mark is somewhat limited in what he could say. He worked for the CIA many years ago and for the intelligence agencies, and so he is not at liberty to talk about certain things, and they would certainly like an excuse to put him in jail for really telling you what's going on. Now, he's written extensively and talked extensively, and we have a number of interviews with Mark as we've gone into mind control programs that have been used by the Central Intelligence Agency and specifically into the story of Kathy O'Brien, and of course she was had been a slave for the CIA, had been utilized to fulfill the carnal passions of many of our highest officials. If you haven't read the book that they wrote, The Transformation of America, and that's TRANCE, Formation of America, Transformation of America, or Access Denied. We carry both of those books because we think it's important to get them out. And then we also carry a CD, but which actually Mark had given to me with permission to reproduce it, that has 18,000 pages of previously top secret and classified government information that eventually was declassified. And that's the CD-ROM, on the CIA and the MK-Ultra, which you can get through Radio Liberty. But, Mike, how are you doing?
You doing, Dr. Stan? We're doing just wonderfully. A little cooler than you are, perhaps, but nevertheless, doing well these days, and it's a wonderful opportunity, and we appreciate being on your show.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you. Well, do you want to talk just for a few minutes about some of the things, the mind control things, before we put Kathy on?
Absolutely. I've had some correspondence going back and forth between myself and some people in Canada with regards to the recent outrages of folks all over North America with the application by law enforcement of tasers, which is a 50,000 volt stun gun type of operation that actually is different from the handheld stun gun. I'm going somewhere with this, Dr. Stan. The fact remains is tasers are considered a non-lethal weapon and are used to control an arrest gone awry, or perhaps a fleeing felon, or even perhaps someone who is on drugs and who is violent. They're not to be, of course, used just indiscriminately against anyone. And law enforcement, now that they've got video recorders in their police vehicles, are themselves now being watched during the arrest process. I got myself in a little bit of trouble with some friends who are advocating against the Canadians using those things. And instead, they favor the old-fashioned methods of using clubs or billy clubs, which crush a person's skull. Which, of course, as you being a doctor, you know that many of these people wind up as wards of the state when, in fact, they were pulled over for a drunk driving violation, and the taxpayers must pay for their upkeep for the rest of their natural lives, which they can live a long time with a brain injury.
If you got a choice between shooting somebody and clubbing them, well, I would take the taser any time. I may not like
precisely,
it.
Precisely, that's my point.
And I think there may be some actual danger to it, because some people do die,
yes,
but it doesn't happen very often. And when you got a choice between shooting somebody and killing them, or using the taser. Why, I'll take the taser every time. Hang on there. We'll be right back with Mark Phillips.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Where do you think one of the most toxic places on earth is? The answer may surprise you. It's in your body. The colon is a natural breeding ground for disease-producing germs. It may not sound like a very appealing subject, but it should not go ignored. For over a decade now, natural health expert Dr. Lauren Ritter has educated people everywhere about the benefits of internal cleansing. Now, these benefits include higher energy levels, more comfortable digestion, high immune support, and healthier looking skin. Now you can try Dr. Ritter's colon cleansing program from the privacy of your own home. It's safe and natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. Don't let your body be the most toxic place on earth. Take care of your health by cleansing your colon. And body. Dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914. Call now to find out how you can get the colon and body cleanse risk-free for 30 days. Dial 1-800-457-9914. Call now.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest, of course, is Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. And is there anything else you want to say about that, Mark?
Yes, Dr. Stan, where I was going with all of this is there are much more physically humane ways to control someone. And the military is now becoming increasingly aware, I should say, members of the military that are active, that the Pentagon has access to weaponry that doesn't control the body, it controls the mind of the individual that they are attempting to arrest or stop or in some way, in some manner, incarcerate. And this brings us to the subject of technological advances within the arena of mind control. Of course, you and I, you are one of the most well-versed persons on the planet that I know of with regards to trauma-based mind control, how it works, when it began. It's been around since the dawn of man. And the fact is that controlling another person's mind through the application of trauma, repetitious traumas, is actually quite simple if the person doing it has no social conscience, of course. However, the technological aspect of all of this has become something of an anomaly in that The government has created these weapons, and they are using it, very discriminately, I should say, on very illegal and immoral applications. They're not using them so much in the arena of war as I think they could be used, and avoid all of this hideous carpet bombing and maiming and destroying innocents' lives. Of course, I'm not one for war of any kind or use or application of any kind of weapon. It's just that I don't believe in using lethal force, if at all humanly possible. And now we have those options before us. Unfortunately, we know now that we can't even trust our government with our voting. And that the voting machines, and this is going to be, I understand, the topic that you and Kathy O'Brien are going to be talking about. Of course, now, if you look at what happened last week in South Carolina, with that one little county up there where the voting machines failed, and the projection of votes for certain candidates based on something, I don't know what, was vastly different than that which was actually cast with paper ballots when the voting machines failed. And so the people became outraged, and the news media did carry it, and so now there is all the way across this country in every state, the state legislators are being pounded with a request and demands to eliminate the Diebold machines in particular, which I understand Diebold is simply changing their name, but to eliminate the electronic voting machines altogether. Dr. Stan, when you control someone's choices, you are controlling their minds. And when they, especially if they're unaware of it, well, the people are now aware that they have no voting rights, they have no choices, particularly if we have a media that's controlled by the corporations, who decides long beforehand who's going to be put in office. The book you carry of ours, Transformation of America, was actually published in 1995, and everything in it, as far as all the forecast of who was going to be elected into which office, is all there. Now, we don't believe in crystal balls or Ouija boards, and so where did Kathy get this information? She got it from the very top. And, of course, the voting machine aspect of it, they have long known that this was a way to control the American people. How are you going to ever verify it? Are you going to ask every person that you meet, did you vote for so-and-so? Did you vote for so-and-so? Well, you can run around the countryside and ask, are you voting for Hillary Clinton? And I'd be surprised if you find anybody. And of course, the news media are telling us that she's just a shoo-in. But with the paper ballot thing coming in, I think that this whole thing could change radically. But
When we get the choice between Edwards, Obama, or Hillary, at least on the Democratic ticket, that isn't much of a choice. And four out of the five remaining Republican candidates, you know, are all globalists. They all want the war. They all favor, you know, the World Trade Organization. There's really not a dime's worth of difference between, you know, four of the Republican candidates and the three
right.
remaining Democrat candidates.
There's no difference whatsoever. And the only candidate that I can't say, as a whistleblower, I can't say who I support or who I don't support. Well, I guess I could say who I don't support. The only one candidate that is a constitutionalist and who wants to restore this country back to the people. Because government, as you well know, is designed to be force only. It's not designed to be the governing body of the country. And this man, he abides by the Constitution, and that would be Ron Paul. There are many things that Ron Paul may believe in personally that he's not going to impose upon us if he were elected president, that I don't particularly agree with, and there are most of the things that he does say and believe in and has proven with his track record, I do support. But unfortunately, the media has blocked him.
Amen.
And unfortunately, he's and all of the people that support him have been labeled by the mass media support, supposedly mass media, as wackos. Well, I don't appreciate being put in that category, and I'm sure that the rest of the intelligent people I know that want this to see our country restored. And the only way we're ever going to know who's going to get what votes, even though now we don't even have a choice, is of course the introduction of reintroduction of paper ballot for, versus this hackable voting machine thing.
And of course, honest quoting of those paper ballots, and of course exit polls, which I think are important. And when the exit polls don't agree with the paper ballots, then we better find out what's currently going on.
I agree
with you totally.
Well, at this point, I'm going to ask Kathy if she'll return to her office and pick up her phone.
All right.
On this. And I just wanted to tell your audience how much we have appreciated their support of you and appreciate the support of our books through you. We're getting the word out globally, as you well know, and you have been playing a very positive role for us for a long time, Dr. Stan, and we deeply appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate everything you and Kathy do. And Kathy, are you there?
She will be in just about a half
fine.
A minute.
All right, fine. Well, Mark is somewhat limited in what he can say because of
course. There she is.
All right, fine. Hi, Kathy. How are we doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan.
It's good to have you with us. So I'm going to let you just pick up the story and the things you'd like to talk to our audience about.
Well, Dr. Stan, I sure do appreciate this opportunity. It's always good to talk with you and get to speak with your audience, who you've already got up to speed so much on information these days, and encouraging them to think for themselves. And so it's always wonderful to get to be on your show. Thank you for having us on.
Well, it's always my pleasure.
Well, as Mark was saying, the paper ballot issue is one that's real strong right now, and one that I'm glad to see is finally coming out in the public eye as much as it is. There's actually a bill before Congress right now. It hasn't been heard, and it's been, unfortunately, most unfortunately, delayed. The Emergency Assistance for Secure Elections Act of 2008. And this bill was introduced to have been heard in an emergency hearing by January 1st, or at least prior to the February 5th presidential primary. Now it's been extended and put off to June 3rd, which, of course, you know, that's just, it's still a step ahead, but, you know.
Well, of course. Well, here in California, where I live, why the Secretary of State was elected, she was a Democrat, but she was elected because she promised that she would check out the voting machines. She had them checked out. She said they were all crooked. You couldn't trust any of them.
Yeah.
And she announced that the entire state was going to have to get back to paper ballots. And then somebody put pressure on her, and they must have broken her arm or threatened to, you know, kill her family or something. So she's backed down somewhat. But her statements about the total unreliability of the voting machines, based upon the fact that she brought some experts in, and they found you could hack them very, very easily.
Yeah.
And certainly I think that all across the country, why at least honest secretaries of state are, and the people who think about it, realize that these machines were introduced after the 2000 elections. You remember we heard day after day after day after day after day about the hanging chads, and I knew at that time that when they kept focusing our attention on an issue of this sort, that they had a solution to the problem that they had brought up. I mean, hanging chads, how many hanging chads can there be? If there's a hanging chad, it really doesn't matter. I mean, they punched it out. It's pretty obvious they did. But they wanted to bring in the electronic voting machines so they could give us the impression that, of course, we were voting for the candidate of our choice. But in truth, with the fixed machines, we were voting for the candidate of their choice. And of course, we know that in this one precinct in Ohio in 2004, one precinct, 850 members in the precinct, and over 1,200 votes for George Bush. And the explanation, when people said, "How could that be? 800 people, 850 people in the precinct, and over 1,200 votes for George Bush," and the explanation was very logical. They said the machine had a hiccup. Well, of course, an awful lot of Americans would say, oh, they had a hiccup. That explains it all. We got to get people to thinking, don't we, Kathy?
We do, and they're beginning to look very closely at the Diebold machines in particular, to the point where there's been a great deal of talk about a chip that was in the Diebold machines, and it was already, you know, it had already decided elections ahead of time. The Diebold machines have been seen not only as hackable but corrupt.
Hold that thought, Kathy. We're
going to
be back. Going to be back as soon as we get the break.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much more. Much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high resolution, full color maps, and full color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard to find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Do you need more than just the constant news of impending tyranny? Yes, this is Elizabeth Border back with The Divided Kingdom, the hour that analyzes spiritual and cultural issues too. Lou Blanchard and I are delighted, thanks in large part to past listeners' lobbying efforts. Now to be on the Great Genesis Communications Network Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central, formidable Alex Jones says, this is the network often imitated, but never duplicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership. We invite you to hear our program, one we pray will strengthen and bless you. Indeed, trouble is part of the story, but the fellowship of faith surpasses it. Tune in at 6 p.m. Central with The Divided Kingdom.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course our guest is Kathy O'Brien. We've been talking about about the fraudulent voting system. And certainly, you know, I think more and more people across America are aware of the fact that they stole, President Bush stole the 2004 election, but it really didn't matter. His opponent, John Kerry, was a member of Skull and Bones. They were both from the same secret occult society at Yale University that only takes in 15 members a year. And you mean to tell me that in a country of 300 million, all we could do is find two members of Skull and Bones to oppose one another? And of course, John Kerry had plenty of money. He could have asked for a recount in Ohio, but the fix was in. George Bush was going to become the president. I believe it was so that he could actually discredit Christianity, so he could continue the war in Iraq, and so that he could bankrupt a country. And he's doing a good job, spending almost $150 billion a year over there in Iraq, and effectively destroying our military. In fact, if you get my December letter, you'll read the speech by Major Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, who commanded the coalition forces in Baghdad from June 2003 to June 2004. And he says, our army is broken. It'll take us 10 years to rebuild it. Well, of course, George Bush is intent upon destroying it even further. But you go right ahead, Kathy.
Oh, absolutely, Dr. Stan. And the whole global economy that's suffering as a result of the kind of nonsense that's gone on like that. So much of our economic problems could even be alleviated by going back to the Constitution, which downsizes the government and their control over the people. We need to restore the control of this country back to the people, and right now that movement is so strong in this country that the voice of the people is being heard, and it's causing some changes. We were talking about the Diebold voting machines a moment ago, and the Diebold name, you know, in addition to that chip that was detected, the Diebold name has become as bad as Halliburton, you know, and people have checked it out, and both trace back to the same person that's been so much a part of the destruction of this country. And by everything that I know personally, it would be Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney needs to be held accountable for the crimes against humanity that he continues to perpetrate. But nevertheless, Diebold goes directly right back into the same people that are in control of this country. And so how can we elect someone new that's going to restore the country back to the people when they have control of our machines? We've got to go back to the paper ballot system. And since they've already put it off now to where we're not going to be able to have them in effect in time for the primaries, they're going to have their select people in place once again. Just like you said, you know, out of all these people, why did we only have the two from Skull and Bones last time? That's what they're going to give us again this time, because it's going to go past the primary, unless people wake up to the reality and realize that until we can get paper ballots restored, we do have the option of filing an absentee ballot, which is a paper ballot trail. As long as we have that physical paper ballot trail, that will be one way that we can actually have a voice, so long as we maintain our stand and stay strong and alert and realize what's happening on a local level and watch our elections there and make sure that our voice is counted and that the absentee ballots are counted. Because I realize, too, you know, that has been a problem in the past, that the absentee ballots have been tossed aside. So we need to, you know, definitely stay alert to all of it. But as we become more alert and more aware and actually have a paper trail that we can fall back on, we're going to be able to stop the same handful of criminals from continuing their so-called change that they're going to be giving all of us.
Well, I think for our listeners out there, if you haven't read the book, The Transformation of America, TRANCE, Transformation of America, why, you really need to get it. And Kathy had some personal experiences, let's put it that way, with Dick Cheney. In fact, you read what she has to say about Dick Cheney in that book. why, of course, you'll never look at this this evil man again. And, of course, people make jokes about him going hunting and shooting one of his friends. But the hunting story that Kathy tells in that book is something that you will never, never, never forget. And she names Dick Cheney. This was written long before Dick Cheney ever became the vice president. It's just a shame that material couldn't have been made apparent to the American people before the election, first of all in 2000 and then again in 2004. Well, our guest is Kathy O'Brien and, of course, Mark Phillips. And we'll be back in just a moment here, right here at Radio Liberty.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of the counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened at the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. 1126, or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones.
Was stopped for reasons of national security.
Right.
We also had national security invoked on my daughter Kelly's case that was actually still in a juvenile court situation, and national security was invoked there, which raised the question, what does national security have to do with the documented and proven rape and devastation of a child's mind and body?
Right, and of course, how is she doing now?
Kelly is very aware and very excited at the huge movement that is sweeping across this country right now. People are thinking again, and that makes her real happy. She's doing as well as can be expected for her circumstances, but she certainly has difficulties as a result of the MKUltra abuses she endured all of her life.
And, of course, you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that they really do kidnap children, and they really do terrible and horrible things to them. This was really actually in a television program called The Pretender. Everybody thought it was make-believe, but it really wasn't. There really are these people and wicked people within government who will take the minds of our children and alter them, as they did with Kathy and then with her daughter many years later. But anyway... So let's get back, of course, to the subject that we were talking about. And that is, of course, how they've rigged the elections for years. You have to understand that the same people control both political parties, the Republicans
exactly.
and the Democrats. And the whole idea of the elections is to give you the impression that you're going to be able to throw the rascals out. But in truth, they don't intend you to have a choice. And if you doubt that, you really need to read the book by Bill Clinton's mentor. It's called Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And on pages 1247 and 1248, Professor Quigley, who taught at Harvard and taught at Princeton before he went to Georgetown University, where he met his most famous student, William Jefferson Clinton, and explained to him how the world is really run. And that's why, of course, Bill Clinton went off to Oxford, got a Rhodes Scholarship. But Professor Quigley simply says, you know, what we need are two political parties that are essentially the same. But so we can go to the polls every 4 years and the people can have the idea they're going to throw the rascals out, but in truth, nothing will change. And that's exactly what it's about. Go ahead, Kathy.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, Dr. Stan, in 1984, I was at the Swiss Villa Amphitheater in Lampy, Missouri, which is very close geographical proximity to the Mena, Arkansas cocaine operations that were so well known back when Bill Clinton was acting as president. But anyway, I had cause to overhear a conversation between George Bush Sr. and Bill Clinton. It was my experience from having been around people on a White House Pentagon level during those years that there is no difference in the party lines. There's the Democrats and the Republicans are an illusion of change. And the people who are in control of our country now and have been in power for so long are acutely aware of that and are playing up that illusion of change. I think that's why change is the big word in today's campaigns. But in 1984 at that Swiss Villa Amphitheater, George Bush Sr., this is documented in both our books, Access Denied and Transformation of America, where George Bush Sr. said to Bill Clinton that when the American people became disillusioned with the Republicans leading them into the New World Order, that Bill Clinton, as a Democrat, would be put in place. It was discussed from that point that in keeping with that same illusion of change in order to maintain the control over this country, that following Bill Clinton would be George Bush Jr. And it's also documented in both Access Denied and Transformation of America that I witnessed the grooming and the preparation of George Bush Jr. for the position of as acting president. MKUltra mind control was used on him as well. But nevertheless, during this particular discussion between George Bush Sr. and Bill Clinton, George Bush Sr. had gone on to say, and then after George Bush Jr., then Hillary Clinton would be put into place. Dr. Stan, ever since I've had the capacity for free thought and to be able to speak out on what I experienced and witnessed behind the scenes in Washington, D.C. on a White House Pentagon level, I have been telling how this illusion of change is being perpetrated to maintain the same people in control. And I've watched it unfold. year after year after year. Each election, I watched it happen exactly as George Bush Sr. laid it out.
And what year was that, do you recall?
1984.
And of course,
I recall it, an absolute photographic recall now. And the watching them put Hillary in, I just, it's so frustrating to me. It's like, come on, people, hurry, wake up and realize this illusion of change is only an illusion, the same way that Diebold is now creating an illusion of change by changing their name to Premier Voting Solutions. We need to be aware that they know exactly what they are doing until people take action on a grassroots level and talk among themselves and restore paper.
Forces that energize him. People who join Skull and Bones. In fact, when they pledge to Skull and Bones and they're brought into the organization, in that ceremony, they kneel before a figure of Lucifer. And if you doubt that, you can go to WilliamHKennedy.com, WilliamHKennedy.com on the internet, and they actually have videos of a shot at great personal risk of the Skull and Bones initiation ceremony, and there is what happens to all of the recruits. They kneel before Lucifer. So should we be surprised that we go from war to war to war, that the president doesn't also always necessarily tell the truth, claims to be a Christian and to worship Christ, but what Christ is he worshiping? Because he actually says, of course, we all worship the same God, talking about Allah. And, of course, he says that there's no difference between Allah and the God we worship. And I think he may be worshiping a different God than the one that Christians worship. But you go ahead, Kathy.
That's just so well stated. Very, very, very well stated. And isn't it ironic that the mascot with the Skull and Bones too is the owl,
right?
Over there at Yale is that owl, and the same owl that they use for sacrifice over at the Bohemian Grove,
right?
The big statue of the owl. So you know, you start tying the little pieces together and you see, no, this isn't about a conspiracy. It's about the way those people think, and they don't think like we do. They're in a completely different space, and they don't have any business running our country, not one more day.
Amen to that. And, of course, Kathy's right. They do think differently than we do because they have different values. They march to a different drumbeat. They dream a different dream because they worship a different God. And when you understand that, then it all begins to make sense. And you can understand why Bill Clinton and George Herbert Walker Bush can travel around the world together, the best possible friends,
yep.
Or why the Bush Family Foundation, anybody wants to check this, we can provide you the documentation, why the Bush Family Foundation would give their award for the most outstanding man of the year in 2003 to none other than Teddy Kennedy, Senator Teddy Kennedy. Why would the Bush family give the Man of the Year award to the most radical senator in the United States Senate? Well, maybe the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats not quite as great as they'd like us to believe. And I like to say, you know, whenever I see that Obama arguing with Hillary and Hillary arguing with Obama, it's like Amos and Andy. It's like Abbott and Costello. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, Laurel and Hardy. It's a great show, but the reality is it's all showbiz.
And two illusions of change.
Right.
We need some real change in this country and restore our Constitution.
Well, I agree with you totally, and this is why we often stress here the importance of the Constitution, so that our listeners will understand the difference between a Republican and a democracy. We're not a democracy, we're a Republican. If you haven't read my pamphlet on that, it's readily available to Radio Liberty and very inexpensive. We are a republic. You know, we need to understand that we are not a democracy, and whenever you hear one of our politicians say, oh, we're a democracy, he's lying. And he's either stupid and he has no business being in office, or he's lying and he has no business being in office. But America, our founding fathers, created a republic because they knew democracy would always lead to dictatorship. And that's why George Bush and George Herbert Walker Bush and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton keep telling us we are democracy, knowing they always, throughout all history, every democracy has ended up in a dictatorship. Go right ahead, Kathy.
I'm so excited, Dr. Sin. It's a huge movement that's going on across this country right now. It's enormous, and it seems to have taken serious root with the Ron Paul revolution that has swept the nation. And whether a person is for Ron Paul or not for Ron Paul, I think that Ron Paul himself is just simply for the Constitution, and, you know, not so much for Ron Paul. So it's not that I'm promoting a candidate so much as I'm promoting the movement that has started on the grassroots level with this particular revolution. These meetup groups that have spread across the nation are in excess of 79,000 and growing strong. And it's on this grassroots level that the people are calling for the restoration of paper ballots. Because whether you support Ron Paul or not, the fact remains that he keeps being the one who's left out of the debates. He's the one who is always at the obvious center of, why weren't any votes counted for him when so many people stood up for him? When the people are moving on the grassroots level like they are, and standing and calling for the paper ballots, they know what their vote is. Those people know what each other is doing. And so then when the media tells us, oh, there were no votes, they say, hey, you know, we exist. Here we are, right here, right now. The change that we need on the paper ballot level, I'm really glad that they are hearing it before Congress. I'm glad that they're doing it in the House and the Senate. But I don't hold much hope in that direction. It needs to be on the grassroots level. It needs to be where people can start watching what's happening, rather than rely on Congress to make that difference. Because Congress is relying on the Diebold electronic voting system to make sure that they're put back in office. The people that I was exposed to on a White House Pentagon level included numerous senators and congressmen, high-level politicians like U.S. Senator Robert C. Byrd, who's been head of appropriations all these years. Not one of them, Dr. Stan, not one of them was ever the least bit concerned about elections, because they knew the elections were already predetermined and selected. They knew that they were going to be put in office. They didn't have to worry about what the vote of the people was, because the people were going to be told that the vote of the majority was exactly what was already predetermined.
And I think that's really what's so important for our listeners to understand, is that they cheat. And these people have no moral integrity. They have no sense of morality. What they want is power. What they want is a one-world government. a one-world religion and a one-world leader. And when you understand that, so much of what's going on really makes sense. And this is why the Christians are trying to do away with the sovereignty of our country and establish the, you know, the North American Union. This is why they're refusing to, you know, to stop the immigration into this country or build a fence. They want, of course, to have a multicultural, multilingual nation as part of our multicultural, multilingual world. This is what it's all about. And we just have to, you, Kathy and Mark and me and the other people out there who value freedom and realize that without freedom, life really has no meaning.
Right.
We have to keep working and trying, and I believe that you're absolutely right. I believe there is a growing movement across America.
Huge.
Not growing as rapidly as we'd like, but there are an awful lot of people, even many of them the victims of the indoctrination of our public educational system, who know something's wrong, that are rallying behind Ron Paul, and these are probably, many of them are left-wing Democrats. But they know something's wrong, and they're willing to back him because they know they lied to us about what happened on September 11th, and they know that we're losing our freedom, and they're probably smart enough to realize that there's no money in the Social Security system, and that's going bankrupt, and they're all, every politician who's up there in Washington, D.C. is lying and not telling the public the truth. Kathy, you got about 40 seconds to wrap up the program.
Oh, Dr. Stan, there's so much to say yet and yet, but
you just
said it all right there. I know from my experience in MKUltra mind control that without free thought, there's no free will. And without that free will, there's no ability to stand for those things that a person would choose to. There is no ability for soul expression. With this Ron Paul revolution that's causing people to think for themselves again, it's restoring that hope, that free will, that strength of spirit to be able to stand up for the things that people believe in on a soul level. And that's what I'm seeing going
God,
across
God
the
bless.
Nation.
Bye-bye.
Turkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly I've known Kathy for some time, and Mark, and the first time I ever met Kathy, she could hardly, she really couldn't keep an intelligent conversation going. She would still have the residual of the MK Ultra's CIA program that had been used to destroy her mind. And, of course, you listen to her today, why, what a lovely woman, and really, of course, if you've ever met her, she's a beautiful, beautiful woman, a real pleasure to be with. Well, let me tell you that we carry their book, The Transformation of America. She's got a section in there on Dick Cheney, written long, long ago. You hear about how he loves to hunt. Well, you'll never believe, of course, what she writes. She knew all these people. She knew Ronald Reagan. She knew the people in key positions in government. And, of course, she knows just how corrupt they really were. Her other book, Access Denied, so Transformation of America and Access Denied, available through Radio Liberty. If you'd like to get that quotation on throwing the rascals out and how absurd their voting process is, Professor Quigley, who taught at Princeton, who taught at Harvard, who taught then at Georgetown University, and this is really one of the most important books, one of the five most important books in my library, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, because Professor Quigley tells you about the secret society that runs America. And, of course, we carry the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence. We've kept this in print for many years. We're running out of them, and when these are gone, they're gone. But you can get that by itself or as part of the Tragedy and Hope special, along with an interview with Professor Quigley. We carry the book Creature from Jekyll Island. It's going out of print very soon, and we have two cases of them, and when they're gone, they'll be gone until it's reprinted. We have a four-tape set on mind control, a book on mass control, and another book called Mind Control. And they were written by Jim Keith, who died under very mysterious circumstances shortly before his publisher died under very serious, strange circumstances, shortly before his ex-wife died under very mysterious circumstances. And, well, of course, I've been an orthopedic surgeon for many years, and I never saw anybody with a minor surgical procedure like Jim Keith had die in the post-operative period, but of course he was an enemy of the government. He was exposing the black helicopters. He was exposing what happened at Oklahoma City and the mind control and mass control programs. So we do have those two books. They're available through Radio Liberty, and we have the Senate investigations of MK Ultra, the actual transcript of the Senate reports. These were suppressed for many years, but they are available through Radio Liberty, and we have the syllabuses on behavior control, these things that the government has done because they know how to control our minds and how to control our responses. And you have to understand that there are dark spirits of forces behind those people in government. That's why you need to get my talk on the forbidden secret, the forbidden secret of the syllabus that goes with that. That's why you need to get the three pamphlet set on the occult hierarchy. The occult hierarchy. There are three pamphlets there. They're a compilation of our newsletters. You need to get them. You need, of course, to get the video, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, and the DVD. These are both in DVDs. The Riddles in Stone, The Secret History of America's America's Capital. Because, you see, when our capital was laid out, Washington, D.C. was laid out, it was laid out in occult terms, because there were occultists here at that time. And they had an agenda. America was to lead the whole world into a world government, and that's, of course, why we have our troop station in 130 nations, why we have 740 overseas bases, why we spend more money on our military than all the rest of the world put together. That's why we have more people in prison in the United States than any other nation. We have 7 million Americans in prison, probation, or parole, but they don't want you to know that we're moving towards a police state. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. For involvement in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video sheltering in place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, of course, for this hour, they're going to be the views of Patrick Wood. And Patrick Wood's been involved in this battle since certainly the late 1970s, when he worked very closely with my good friend, Professor Anthony Sutton, writing books on the Trilateral Commission and trying to expose this movement of the very, very wealthy to control the world. And then, of course, more recently, Patrick's been working on his own through something called the August Review and the August Corporation, and putting out articles and circulating information to try to get people to understand that there is an organized effort to destroy the sovereignty of our nation, enslave our people, bring about a world government, a world religion, and I don't know how he feels about the world leader, but that is really, in my estimation, what they really want. Well, anyway, Patrick's going to talk to you today about what's happening financially. We did a program just the other day on our morning program, and I thought it was so good I wanted him to share his thoughts with you, because as we see the unwinding of this financial crisis, as we see more and more of our major financial institutions getting into difficulty, and of course as we begin to see the derivative market beginning to collapse, and this is a worldwide phenomenon, it's not just here in the United States, and certainly Ben Bernanke can pour out all the money he wants to, the president can issue all the checks he wants to, but of course it's only going to destroy our monetary system, destroy the value of our money, and of course impoverish our people. So with that as a background, Patrick, thanks so very much for being with us again. Go right ahead, Patrick.
Well, we were the main thing of this week for sure. This is we just ended the financial week this week there today in the stock market and so on. It's been a extremely volatile week around the world, and
how did it end up today? I didn't see.
Actually, there was another attempt to extend the rally from the last 2 days, but that turned around. The market headed down. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 171 points today.
All right, fine. Of course, they're manipulating. I think people have to understand it's against the law, but they're doing it anyway. After all, they make the laws, and who are you going to report to when the government violates the law? And they've been manipulating. I believe they've been manipulating the market all along.
Well, I think there's, I think in certain junctures, there's certainly a case to be made for direct manipulation. For instance, the government sponsored manipulation is possible through what's called the Plunge Protection Team, which operates inside the Treasury Department and is there to provide stability in the stock market, supposedly. But they have a rather large amount of money at their disposal that they can influence the direction of the market short term. They can shore up losses. They can stop manias on the upside if they choose to. And certainly there's some manipulation on a short term basis. What's happening right now in our economy and in our market is pretty much out of the control, in my estimation, is pretty much out of the control of anybody, including the central bank at this point. That's not to say they didn't push Humpty Dumpty over the edge, that he might have a great fall. But what's been unleashed here this week is evidence that around the world is evidence that that we're going through an economic upheaval, and the stock market's reflecting it. The panics around the world are reflecting that, and the decided direction of things right now on a global basis is down.
Hold on, I will be back in just a moment with Patrick Wood. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Patrick Wood of August Review, and we're talking about the financial markets of the world. And, of course, this last couple of weeks has been very dramatic changes in the stock market, up and down and down and up. And one day it went down 300 and up 300 in the same day. And apparently it was up this morning, and then, of course, it ended up down considerably, well over 100 points today. And a lot of this reflects the fact that despite the fact that the working group on financial matters or on financial markets is involved, they call it the Plunge Protection Team, manipulating the market, they can't manipulate everything. Certainly the gold market is getting away from them. Gold was up to $920 today. I think it closed at $910 an ounce. Silver was up to almost $16.50 an ounce. And, of course, we're seeing dramatic changes in our society, and the implications for what's going on are really rather frightening, because we're seeing markets collapsing throughout the world, and the government's going to pour money out, and of course, the other central banks are pouring money out in an effort to solve the problem. But you pick up the story there, Patrick.
Well, that's right. There's political pandering going on this week to try and make people more at peace with what's going on and so on, like the government's going to rescue him yet one more time. But the Federal Reserve was spooked into offering a rate cut of the discount rate on Monday, or Tuesday rather, before the market opened, of 0.75 points, the largest amount that they've ever applied in recent history, for sure. And basically nobody cared. The market didn't care whether the Fed lowered the discount rate or not. And then the Bush, the administration and the Congress passed this, or at least it came an agreement to give back $600 to about 161 million people in America to, quote-unquote, stimulate the economy. And obviously today, the market being down 171 points, the market didn't give a rip about that either. So these political maneuverings to try and shore up the market are failing miserably. And just to put things in perspective right now, today is today is the
today is the 25th.
Today we got 6 days left, 4 market days left in this month. And right now we're on direct pace for having the worst January since before 1960.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Patrick is saying that despite all of the money that the government is throwing out, lowering the interest rate, making credit ready more available, promising that everybody's going to get a check, or at least 160 million people are going to get $600 checks so they can just go out and spend that money and stimulate our economy. But as somebody pointed out, of course, the people are going to go out, they're going to buy things at Walmart that are made in China, and this is going to be great for the Chinese economy, but since we're really not manufacturing very much here in America today, why, all that money that we're putting out is really going to help communist China, but it's not going to help manufacturing in America because they've destroyed the manufacturing base of this country. So pick up the story there, Patrick.
Well, that's exactly right. Any near-term stimulation is not going to stimulate our economy. It'll stimulate the economy in Germany and Mexico and India and wherever, anywhere but here, because the money goes, you spend the money at Walmart, it goes directly overseas. Nevertheless, the government tries to maneuver politically to make people think that they're doing their job, but the government has no job to do right now. There's nothing they can do to stop this. At this point, it's too late. There's nothing that the financial community could do, if they wanted to even, to correct what's happening right now. And what's happening is we're going through a massive credit implosion. It started with the subprime market. And unfortunately, people have been talking about that to the exclusion of everything else. It's subprime, it's all subprime's fault. That's not true. It's the entire credit mechanism that has perpetuated throughout the world that's coming unglued. It's not just the subprime market in the United States. Because the bankers have knitted the world together in a world economic system, we now see all the markets of the world traveling in the same direction at the same time, which tells you that all of the economies of the world are rising and falling together. This has never happened before in history, never. And this is a new thing. This is a byproduct of globalization. And it's, like it or not, it's upon us. It used to be that even if our market was bad, there was somebody else was doing okay. And even back in the 90s, Japan was in a depression and their market was in the tank and a total bear market, yet our market in America was doing great. That's always been the case in the world. Somewhere there's a haven of safety and growth, etc. But today, because of globalization, everything is happening together at the same time. So our economy is going down, but don't be fooled. The economy around the world is going down, and it's not just because of us. It's because of everything, just everything that's going on in the world. The monetary system is crumbling. And the credit that's been created on the world is crumbling. It's imploding upon itself. And when credit implodes, when credit is decreased, wealth is lost. Wealth is evaporated. So we see stock markets going down by, 5, 10, 15% this week around the world. You have to consider that the world has probably lost a couple of trillion dollars in value this year or this week in wealth. And you say, well, who lost that money? Well, individual investors for sure, mutual funds, investment retirement funds, rich people, corporations, banks, governments, and everybody in between. A couple of trillion dollars lost in a week is no insignificant amount. It's a huge amount of money. And so the spiral downwards has begun. As more money is lost, more assets have to be sold in order to cover the debts on the remaining things that you own. And so each week we see these waves of selling pressure coming in on real estate, on stocks, on bonds, just about anything of value. We see waves of selling pressure coming in where people have to liquidate their good assets to pay off or at least to take care of some of the debt on their bad assets.
And, of course, when you have to sell, it's not that you want to sell, but you have to sell, and there's nobody buying, then you've got to drop the price, and you've got to keep dropping it down to the point where somebody will buy it.
Exactly.
And this is why, of course, you begin to see all these assets beginning to lose value, whether it's your home and the only way you can sell it is to cut the price, or whether it's, certainly collateralized debt obligations that you have, or, these structured investment vehicles, SIV or ABSs, that's asset-backed securities, or all of these, menagerie of various items that they're being sold on financial markets. They have to sell them, and of course, basically, since a lot of these is suddenly we find that many of these bonds that are out there have lost from being AAA down to AA or single A, and yet, of course, the requirement is that they have to be AAA. If you don't, they're not AAA, you got to sell them, and suddenly all of these bonds going out of the market at one time, and of course a lot of people don't want to buy them unless they're an awfully good buy, and sometimes they're only getting 25 cents on the dollar, and sometimes they're lucky to get 25 cents on the dollar. Go right ahead, Patrick.
Well, that's exactly right, and it probably ought to be noted here that there's a big comparison between what's happening today and what happened in 1929 in the great crash of 29. And what precipitated the crash in 29 was the withdrawal of credit from the stock market by the international, by the national banks back then. And when they withdrew credit from the stock market, people had to sell their stocks in order to meet the margin calls that the banks gave them, and they were forced to do this. And so the spiral began that people had to sell stocks, prices went down, they had to sell more stocks to cover their margin calls, the stock went down more, and it basically just collapsed the market. The circumstance today is very similar, except it's on a global scale now, not just a national scale. And as credit is withdrawn from the market on a global basis, in other words, the credit implosion, the destruction of credit, not the creation, but the destruction of credit, as this happens on a global basis, we now have, for the first time in the world, I might add, we now have the possibility for a global collapse, not merely just a national collapse. And I honestly think this is what's happening right now. I think there's plenty of evidence that this is what's happening around the world. There's nothing they can do to stop it. It will definitely create an opportunity for restructuring the world after the dust settles, just like was done in World War II, after World War I. Great efforts at restructuring the world took place, and there were significant changes too, by the way, usually for the worst, but there was. And we'll probably see the same kind of restructuring take place when the dust settles on this global collapse as well. But the thing that we have in common here is the reduction of credit being responsible for the sale of assets. And we also see now, instead of just the national banks involved in this ordeal, we see the global banks involved in this now. We see the central banks around the world that are trying to set monetary policy for the whole world at the same time. The Bank for International Settlements, for instance. And so as credit is withdrawn, as credit is collapsing around the world, markets are heading down, real estate's heading down, just about everything that you see that has any value, art is headed down, commercial real estate is headed down, and the world is going to suffer together on this one, I'm afraid.
And I think you're absolutely right. And, of course, one of the big things is the derivative market. And most people don't understand the derivative market. But basically, it is an insurance policy. And if you had a bond that you wanted to sell, let's imagine that you're a city and you want to sell your city bonds. And, of course, city bonds are not necessarily reliable because sometimes people actually default on their bonds, and so they take out a contract, an insurance policy, so that people will who buy their bonds know that they're going to get paid, the interest is going to be paid, and so then that bond can be sold as a triple A bond, and then of course somebody writes the insurance, but the trouble, they've been writing the insurance without any money behind it and siphoning off the money, and this is characterized by ACA, one of the major derivative writers that sold $69 trillion. That's $1 trillion worth of insurance, but based upon, I should say, $69 billion worth of insurance, but based upon about $450 million that they had. So there was no way, if these things began to default, that they would have the money to do it. And suddenly now they've lost, ACA has lost their status, and all of the bonds that they've guaranteed as AAA are now AA or A, and they're going to have to be sold. And the ACA is in receivership, and this is just the beginning. There are lots of other derivative writers here in the United States with literally trillions of dollars of derivatives that have been written, and there's no money behind them. So pick the story up, Patrick.
Well, that's exactly right. The banking community has built a house of cards, literally, where there's no substance to the building. It looks like it has an outside. It looks like a building from the outside. It looks like it's important and substantive, but there's nothing inside, and the lights aren't on. And what they have done is created this house of cards that any one of which at this point is knocked out of the structure, will collapse the entire structure. So we have credit on one hand, we have the derivative market, because wealth is being evaporated, the derivative market is collapsing and promises to take out huge chunks of capital out of the international banking community that's responsible for these and the brokerage houses. And we saw some of the flavor of what derivatives can do to a company, probably looking at or remembering back on the Enron debacle, where Enron was involved in trading contracts, futures contracts and derivative contracts around the world, and when their little game came undone, the entire company just evaporated overnight. All their wealth was gone. They had to shut their doors, just tell their people to go home. There was nothing left. There wasn't even a building practically left that they could try and dismember to get back to the people and the company and the stockholders.
And the stockholders lost everything.
Well, and it happened over. It happened virtually overnight.
Right. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment with Patrick Wood. This is certainly the most significant financial situation I've seen in my lifetime, and believe me, I've been around a long time. Well, go right ahead, Patrick.
Well, let's see where we were. We're talking about derivatives and the collapse of credit and so on. I think that we have been saying, Dr. Stan, for at least a couple of years that we've been talking that people need to have a plan. They need to have an exit plan to prepare themselves for this kind of economic turmoil. And I certainly would not say that the turmoil is anywhere near over yet. But for those people who have heeded our advice to seek to get out of debt, to seek to shore up their put their assets into good investments that won't be subject to just evaporating, those people will be in much better shape today than those who did not listen. But for those people in your audience who all of a sudden realize, I should have done something 6 months ago or a year ago to try and sell that real estate, that extra thing, or sell that extra property or whatever that we, to reduce our debt load and get out of harm's way.
Get out of the stock market before it collapses totally, right?
Well, that's exactly. There's still a lot of things that people can do today. It's better to get out. Certainly, it's better to get out now. Don't be caught in the cycle of greed and fear, where you're figuring, well, I'll just wait for a bounce, I'll wait for a little rally or whatever to come along and I'll get rid of stuff. That's not acceptable at this point. We're urgently on the precipice of a financial catastrophe. And you don't have the 3 months. You may. It might string out, but you cannot assume at this point that there's going to be another 3 to 6 months or 12 months to take your sweet time to get out of trouble. You need to make an urgent plan now to get out of trouble and start executing that plan.
But, of course, the one thing that is different today than it was in 1929 is in 1929 we had a stable gold-backed currency.
Correct.
Today we do not have a stable gold-backed currency. We have a fiat money currency, and, of course, fiat money systems always eventually go to the true value of fiat money, which is zero.
Yep.
It has no value. And of course, if we get into a to run on the dollar, and we've already seen it's almost lost 35-40% here in the last couple of years, in relationship to a basket of currencies. My fear is that this is going to end up with hyperinflation and stagflation and depression, and we're going to end up like Zimbabwe or like the Weimar Republic or like Argentina a few years ago, and time and time again we've seen this in South America. And this, you study the history of fiat money systems, they always collapse, and I fear that this will be no different than the others. And there's only one person who's been talking about this in Congress, and that is Congressman Ron Paul, and that is, of course, why he's ridiculed. He says we've got to get back to a sound money system, and all the rest of the candidates say we're going to give more money to the people, and where's the money coming from? Why, the government has no money other than what it creates through inflation. Or borrows or taxes, and they're certainly not going to tax us because then we'd be mad at them. So they're either going to have to borrow it or simply inflate it away. Go right ahead, Patrick.
Exactly right. The good thing probably about you know, about the inflationary picture right now is that as the value of the dollar goes down, the value of those foreign dollars out there, where the bulk of our dollars are right now in China and the Mid East and so on, those dollars decrease in value to those people.
Now, boy, we're really going to cheat all those people who've got our dollars our way. They're going to have these dollars they think are valuable, and they're not going to be worth anything.
That's right. It took the banks 100 years to depreciate our currency by 98% since 1913, the value of our currency.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Patrick Wood of the August Review, and we're talking about what is happening to the dollar. The dollar is losing its value, and of course, we've got literally trillions of dollars that we've exported to other countries. We've been exporting our inflation for years, and these countries are holding our dollars as reserve currency, but, well, it's gone down about, 20-30% here recently, so they've lost 20-30% of their investment, and right now, they're afraid to get out, but they're afraid to hold it. But, of course, there can be only one direction that our currency can go, and that is down, because there's only one thing that the government is going to do, and that is to throw more money out to try to stop this falling of the stock market and collapse of the economy. And the more money they put out, why, of course, that creates more inflation, because inflation has nothing to do with rising prices. Rising prices are a byproduct of inflation. Inflation is increasing the money supply, and they're doing that frantically.
Well, exactly. And what the Chinese and the Mideast world basically has just been had in a big way by, they've lost 20-30% of their wealth in just a couple of years at this point, and this of course kind of levels the playing field on inflation right now in this country. But I think you mentioned earlier in our earlier show that you remember a man by the name of international financial consultant by the name of Harry Schultz, who was the originator, by the way, of the term stagflation. And that was his concept back in the 70s that he developed. And the concept was that certain pockets of the country's economy will inflate, and certain pockets will stagnate or deflate. And we've seen this in our country. While energy prices are going through the roof in a market that's almost a monopoly, by the way, and manipulated as such, but as energy prices go up, other prices in our economy on goods and services and stuff have gone down. So the question comes up, well, how can you have some sectors going up and some sectors going down? We say, well, that's the reality of life today. We see that happening, and there may be some sectors of life that that will inflate in the future, but by and large, as people sell assets, as people are forced to sell assets, like their homes, for instance, to pay off their debt, this is going to have a deflationary effect at least in certain pockets of our economy, and there's no escaping the negative context of either one of those things, I'm sure, Dr. Stan, but most economists would agree that a deflationary depression is much, much worse and more harmful to the economy and to the nation than an inflationary depression. So, in a sense, we could hope and pray for an inflationary depression, and we could hope that we don't get a deflationary depression. But at this point, my bet would be on net balance that we're going to have a deflationary depression upcoming, where values will drop, where things like the common things that you and I are concerned with, our homes, our cars, the other assets that we have, that even if they're depreciating assets, they're just going to go down the tubes. Where we are right now, if you try and sell a car up here, a used car, for instance, there are so many used cars sitting on corners right now up here. I don't know how it is in California, but it's just amazing. It's like everybody has something that they're trying to sell. And you drive down the road, the whole thing looks like, you see signs for this and that for sale. You see cars sitting on the side of the road with a for sale sign in them. And, these prices have gone down in the last 6 months. You can't get the same money today that you could have gotten 6 months ago for these types of things.
Oh, of course, the price of houses in many parts of the country is going down. It hasn't where I live, but certainly in places like Las Vegas and San Diego and Phoenix and Miami, the price of these houses has dropped many times up to 20%, and that's just the beginning of what's going to happen.
Yes.
People don't understand. Once this thing gets going, it's like a prairie fire, and it begins to feed on itself.
Yes, and it can't be. At this point, as I said before, politicians cannot stop it. Central bankers cannot stop it. you know, there's nobody on the face of this planet that can stop it.
Well, of course, what the people in Washington, D.C. are trying to stop it by throwing money at it. And this just, of course, destroys the value of our currency so that we don't have the solid currency that we had back in 1929 when we had a gold-backed currency. Now we have a fiat currency. And so they're destroying the value of our currency in the name of fighting, you know, what's going on to try to protect us. And eventually this thing is going to go from inflation down to deflation, admittedly. But in the meantime, of course, they're going to, I believe, effectively destroy the value of our currency. And they keep pouring the money out the way they are now. Why? It's only a matter of time before we do what has happened in South America so many times, or in Russia back in the 1990s when we went over to help them and destroyed the value of their currency, or the Weimar Republic, or in Zimbabwe today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Patrick Wood. Patrick, go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, I think that I'd like to offer one more piece of advice that to people maybe that have retirement funds, a 401k plan vested in the stock market or whatever, or maybe just a portfolio of things that they've been holding on to, hoping for, you know, retirement someday or whatever. When we say have a plan to divest yourself, to get out, some people just, they get white knuckled at the thought of just liquidating a portfolio and cashing it in, and you can empathize with them. That's a human reaction. But there are plans that you can put into place that will help you divest yourself and not be fearful of missing the big rally, you know, to get one last chance to get out. And adopting a mechanical methodology of divesting yourself, call it dollar cost averaging in reverse, works just perfectly well. For instance, if you commit to selling 10% of your portfolio every week on Monday, regardless of what happens, if you say, no, I'll keep whatever remains, but I'm going to sell 10% of my portfolio every Monday until I'm divested into a cash situation. Of course, the market may go down from Monday to Monday and you lose some money. Or it may go up and you sell into a rally. It's possible. The market never goes in a straight direction forever. It always bounces and there's a lot of volatility and so on. That's one way that a person can get out of the market without having to go through that white knuckle, confrontational experience of just dumping everything on a single day. Real estate is a little bit more difficult because you probably only have one piece of real estate. That might be your house, maybe you got a vacation home or whatever, maybe some investment property. But even still, if you have other property that's linked to a lot of debt, you can at least start putting on the market. Who knows? Somebody might come along and buy it from you. It'll be maybe his loss and your gain, but that's the way the market works. If you put your property up and you can get a price for it, take it. Don't argue too much. Don't haggle. If you can get rid of it, just be thankful that you can and move on with your life.
Well, I think that we're moving into very, very difficult times, and people need to begin making arrangement for it. They need to be planning. They need to learn about money. The average individual doesn't understand anything about money. That money, our whole monetary system is built upon debt, and you begin to contract debt, and you destroy the monetary system. And this is the thing that they are so frightened about back in Washington, D.C. This is why they're going to give us all, $600, and this is why they're going to get special things for the industries. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Patrick Wood, and we're talking about the economy and what's happening. And Patrick is saying, get out of debt, and if you can liquidate things that have a debt on them, get rid of them, even if you have to perhaps not do as well as you'd like to. But, Patrick, before we go on, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the August Review and get the excellent material that you're putting out.
Well, certainly, Dr. Stan. My website is www.augustreview.com. And it's a free site to anybody who would come and read. We're, we focus on globalization and all of its you know, subtleties around the world. And you know, if you are interested in globalization, you need to go and just you know, take your fill. We exist on contributions. We love to have people contribute to us. And by the way, we have a brand new DVD that we just picked up this week, as a matter of fact. That is done by Dr. Jerome Corsi, on the late great USA. He did a presentation up here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, a two-hour presentation on his book about the North American Union. And a DVD has been created, professionally done with titles, slides, and so on. And we have that available in our donation section if anybody would be interested in seeing that. It's a marvelous DVD. I think people will want to get their hands on it and pass it around. It's just amazing presentation.
All right, fine. Well, certainly we recommend Patrick Wood's material. We've known him for a long time, and he's certainly done some wonderful, wonderful work on this whole movement towards globalization, because, of course, that is the common denominator behind everything. If you don't understand that we have leaders who have no loyalty to America, their loyalty is to this internationalist dream. They have sworn to uphold our Constitution. They hate our Constitution. That's, of course, and they will do everything they can to destroy the Constitution, to destroy the sovereignty of this nation, and to merge us into the one world government under the leadership of the United Nations or perhaps some other similar organization. But, of course, the other thing is that you can't have a world government without having a world currency. And how would you ever get a world currency unless you... Well, unless you destroy the existing currencies all throughout the world. What a novel idea. If we could just destroy all those currencies, the people would be desperate for some means of exchange, and maybe they'd accept our world currency. Patrick, why don't you pick up that thought?
Well, yes, Dr. Stan. What we see, part of the byproduct of this, the fluctuation in markets and currencies and so on, the central theme that runs through all of this is instability or volatility. And the free traders of the world want to, you know, their story is always to minimize volatility and to provide a stable currency, you know, for stable international trade. And on, you know, on the surface of it, there's nothing wrong with that goal, probably, in one sense. And, well, yeah, we want stability rather than instability. But when unstable markets happen like they are today, the answers that are offered to implement so that that doesn't happen again will be things like introducing a global currency, will be things like introducing some kind of global stock market mechanism that can control all the stock markets at the same time, will be things like trying to standardize trade more between countries and the way that the trades are cleared. These globalistic solutions are good for them always. They will virtually never be good for us. But we see this move towards a global currency. There's been much written about it for, gosh, years and years, and there's been all kinds of false plans plans that have been made that never panned out. But the current global currency on the drawing boards right now is one called the DEY, D-E-Y, which stands for dollar, euro, and yen. And the DEY currency is being offered by the man who is responsible for the creation of the euro in the European Union. And the DEY would tie together the dollar, the yen, and the euro to make what they would call a stable currency for international commerce and international trade, etc. And it would ultimately give way to another global currency, a truly global currency, which they would call at this point the INTOR, I-N-T-O-R, INT stands for international, and OR stands for gold, believe it or not, which is the French word, two letters of the French word for gold. And so somewhere down the way, we can see machinations that there's going to be an interest to bring gold back into the picture again. And this is, obviously somewhat hypocritical, because the financial establishment has been bad-mouthing gold since at least 1973, saying that gold is an antiquated relic. Who needs it? It's garbage. You know, you should all get rid of all your gold. You don't need it except for the fillings in your mouth. And all these years, they've been conning people out of their gold by talking it down. Yet, gold has been accumulated by the very people that are talking it down. And now, even talking about bringing it back into some type of a global currency with other fiat currencies associated with it, wouldn't be much of a currency, by the way. But, you know, we can see gold still in their mind as an important future vehicle to use to bring stability to the world markets. None of those solutions will be good for us. They will all be bad for us, likely. It'll always be good for them. And just in case anybody thinks that we're, you know, crying over the, you know, bad rap that the banks are getting right now, the international bankers have created the crises that we find ourselves in right now. They've been like the bull in a china shop. And the policies that they've had for creating derivatives, for creating securitized assets that took our bad mortgages and sold them all around the world, this is all stuff they have done. And in almost every case, even though they've made billions of dollars, in every case what they serve to do is to wreck the financial system of our country and wreck the financial system of the world as well. They've just busted stuff. And so now we see, now we're suffering the results of that breakage. And when the pieces are all, you know, scattered all over the ground, the same people will come in and offer, quote-unquote, more permanent solutions.
Of course, if you read the writings of the people who really run America, certainly it's not our elected representatives. It's the people in the Council on Foreign Relations, the globalist CFR, which is a front for a secret society that was created back in 1891. But, of course, they can't tell the American people that, because the Secretary of State always comes from the CFR and the head of the CIA and the head of the Federal Reserve System. It doesn't matter whether it's Democrat or Republican. They always come from the Council on Foreign Relations. And I've been back there a number of times and spent weeks going through their files on each occasion. But certainly their publication is known as Foreign Affairs. And it was, thinking of the last issue of last year, why they had an article on a new world money. And what was so interesting about it was that they were talking about how will we create a world money, why we will have a privately issued gold-backed currency. Well, basically what we have today is a privately issued currency. Our central bank is a privately owned bank. It's not controlled by our government at all. In fact, it's really the reverse. The private bank controls our government. And, of course, the most important man in Washington, D.C. has never been the president. He's always been the head of the Federal Reserve System. And, of course, this is true really throughout the world. But right now, of course, when this invisible government, which, of course, is not invisible, you can get their publications if you really care about yourself and your children and the future of our nation. And when they begin publishing articles talking about a global currency, a one-world currency for their one-world government, there will be with a new currency that will be privately owned and gold-backed, because that's the way that people will have confidence in it, is it has value. And, of course, we had the old term, as solid as the dollar, and the dollar used to be solid because it was gold-backed. But they've, of course, stolen our gold, and they intend to impoverish our people. And out of the chaos that's coming, I think there will become a call. People will accept anything, especially if we have a war going along concomitantly with this or in the meantime. And the people will eventually say, take away our sovereignty, just give us a peace and protection. So had you read that article in Foreign Affairs there, Pat?
Well, yes, Dr. Stan. And it's just, you know, I've been following the things related to gold since at least 1972, I guess. And those things interested me a lot. I've been trying to find out some reliable statistics on where the major monetized gold exists physically in the world today. I can't really find out either. It's secret. But I follow all that stuff pretty thoroughly, and the machinations now coming out of the CFR and the Trilateral Commission and other scholars and stuff that are surrounding them, these were the same people that cursed gold in 1972 and 1973 and before that even, but they cursed gold.
While they were accumulating it for themselves, of course.
That's exactly right. While they were accumulating for themselves, and all of the sales from central banks that have been held over the years, the idea has been to suppress the price of gold, and they said, well, we don't need this gold anymore anyway, so why don't we sell it and just use the asset for something else? But somebody had to buy that gold on the other side of those transactions.
Nobody ever asked who's buying,
that's right.
100 tons of gold. I mean, that's hardly pocket change. I don't think there are very many of our listeners that have the money to buy 100 tons of gold, but they do.
No, that's exactly right. So, all these 400-ounce bars that are stamped 999% pure, they're still out there somewhere. I know, and I had one expert suggest to me one time, it was probably all absorbed into, by the jewelry industry. I said, you got to be kidding. That's the dumbest answer I've ever heard in my life. To think that, that pallets and pallets and tons and tons and tons of gold is going to be, in addition to the current production of gold each year, is going to be used up by the jewelry industry is just absolutely absurd.
Well, of course, we have actually a syllabus, and it has a lot of information from it, from the Federal Reserve System, and they claim that at the first Federal Reserve Bank in New York City, and down in the sub basement, they have gold from six different countries, and they're all on pallets. And when one sells, say 100 tons of gold, why the forklift comes over and picks up the pallet and moves it over to the area for one of the other countries. So basically, they sort of traded back and forth there, and some of it may leave, but I think most of it just shifts from one spot to another. So, and of course, I'm sure that a lot of the American gold is right there as well. And this actually comes from the Federal Reserve System telling you where the gold really is. And of course, it's no longer at Fort Knox. It is there under the control of the Federal Reserve System, the privately owned bank that runs our country.
Just an interesting sidebar on that. Just because I'm an old time kind of a gold bug type, there was an article recently, Dr. Stan, about 2 or 3 months ago, maybe now, that said that in the Bank of England, where they of course have a massive vault for gold underneath, like our Federal Reserve does, that there was reports of gold bars cracking. The cracks had developed in the gold bars in their vaults. Not all of them, obviously, but there were several that had cracks in them. And they couldn't explain it. I don't know why they couldn't explain it. I think it was just the journalists couldn't explain it. I think the people that understand gold probably could understand it just fine. The only reason gold cracks is because it's impure.
Right.
And the only monetized gold, gold bars that are in 400-ounce bars that were not 999% pure and stamped that way, was the coin melt gold that was taken from American citizens and put into the Fort Knox, remelted and put into the Fort Knox storage facility, which is supposed to be there as a national asset to this very day. But we have had rumors and thoughts over the years that gold was transferred to the Federal Reserve in New York, and it existed in their underground storage facility. But now we find a trace that gold bars that are cracking are found buried in the Bank of England, which means that the only conclusion one can have is that some, if not the bulk of our gold, has been transferred out of our country altogether, and it now lives in the Bank of England. I doubt it has our name on it, though, anymore.
Well, there's a lot of strange things out there, and people have to really understand that there are people who work behind the scenes. In fact, Professor Quigley talks about them on page 324 of his book, Tragedy and Hope, which we carry. And he talks about how the central bankers hold secret meetings, and they plot on how they will be able to, control their respective countries. and they want to set up a feudalistic system by which they can control the people. Feudalistic system, that means we're serfs. Now, that is the words of Bilkin's mentor, a professor of history at Georgetown University, who taught at Harvard and Princeton, and was really probably the outstanding historian of the latter half of the last century, or at least up until 76 when he died, 1976. Well worthwhile getting his book, as he tells you how these people hold secret meetings and plot on how they will set up a feudalistic system. But you're never going to hear that from Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Brian Williams, of course.
Not hardly. And just in case there's some younger people that listening to your show that don't understand what feudalism means, and it's a nice word, but a lot of people really don't understand, well, what do you mean by a feudalistic system? Well, the feudalistic world is what basically resulted in the Dark Ages of our history, the Dark Ages being called the Dark Ages throughout the world. And what it was that a few people owned everything. They owned the land, they owned the people that lived on the land, they owned all the assets, resources, and the produce of the land. They were in the hands of a few people, and if a person, the landowner, had farmland or whatever, and allowed you or I to come and live on it, we would be his serfs, and we would have the right to exist there as long as everything that we produced goes to him, except for enough for us to eat. And they would keep their people alive like cattle. If some died, it was no big deal because the women would breed and have more babies. But it was basically people were treated like animals, and they produced wealth and resources for the barons, for the landowners. And this was the most harsh period in the history of the world.
And, of course, that word feudalistic was not mine. It was the words of a Professor Carol Quigley. And anyway... somebody wanted to call in, would it be better to sell or to get out of California when you could have your home or where you could own your home? Well, we don't have time to talk on it, but to get the telephone number, I'll be glad to talk to them after the program. Right now, of course, we have Patrick Wood with us, and of course, remember, we're not financial consultants, we're historians. Patrick's been at this since 1972. That's a long time. And, of course, he's an excellent source of information. That's August Review, and we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty to wrap up the program. Well, Patrick, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up our program today.
Well, I guess, what can we say, Dr. Stan? It's a pretty depressing picture that we're painting here, and I think that as people, consider what we're talking about and stuff, I just think that they really ought to be reminded that they also need to take a spiritual inventory of their lives as well as just a physical and political type of an inventory, and consider that in the end of things that the spiritual realities of life are probably a lot more important than the physical realities that we're talking about today, and that they should not be divorced from each other. You can't really have one without the other. But even though we're going through a fearful time and a difficult time, those who have a spiritual base in their life will do much better because their hope will not be exclusively in this world.
Well, I agree with you totally. And as we often remind our listeners, behind everything that goes on are powerful spiritual forces. And indeed, this is truly a spiritual battle. And it's not a financial battle. It's a spiritual battle being fought on a financial battlefield. It's not a cultural battle. It's a spiritual battle that's being fought on a cultural battlefield. And until people recognize that there really are spiritual forces out there who openly talk about how they control financial issues, and anybody who has any question about that, we'll be glad to send them a copy of a pamphlet put out by the Luciferian organization, the Lucius Trust, and in which they talk about, how they have their people planted in finances all over the world. Yeah, the pamphlet is called The Work of the Spiritual Hierarchy, and it is quoted, in fact, it's quoted in my January newsletter and get much more detail. So when people begin to understand that these things are not imaginary, they're real, And as I agree with Patrick, you know, we're going to have a difficult time. But, of course, we cannot simply be only concerned about finances, how we're going to survive, because in the final analysis, we're going to have to rely upon the Lord. Would you agree with that, Patrick?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the only consolation that a lot of people will have going, you know, once we get into this kind of trouble. And it's okay, you know, even though difficult times have come upon in the world before. It's a sad thing that we have to lose our country, our wonderful country, at the hands of immoral and amoral men. But, you know, be that as it is, we have a greater hope. And they have an end ahead of them that will be most unfortunate for them, because, you know, they're getting all their gusto right now in this world.
Amen to that. Well, Patrick, thanks very much. God bless. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, Patrick was saying that during the time we were off the couldn't hear us, that you're ready. Of course, this is a spiritual battle, and you're going to have to learn to rely upon the Lord. Yes, we want to make all of our preparations. Yes, we certainly want to keep working and doing everything we can to try to save America, but in the final analysis, this is God's battle, and we're to do the best we can. But in the final analysis, we're going to have to rely on the Lord. So we do hope that many of you out there, if you do not understand many of the things, the terms we talk about, we talked about where the gold is in New York City. This is covered in the syllabus on the financial tsunami, and you really wouldn't want to get that without the talk, the financial tsunami, where we refer to the syllabus and show you, of course, how you begin to read Federal Reserve reports and understand their terms, M1, M2, M3. Of course, they've quit publishing M3 because they don't want you to know what they're really doing and how they're inflating away and destroying the value of our currency. But, of course, in the talk, Financial Tsunami, we try to clarify all these issues for it. And we've had a number of people who've really been very, very pleased with this product. It's a talk we gave here in Santa Cruz some years ago. And then, of course, we have a pamphlet called Financial Meltdown. It's based upon five of our newsletters at the end of last year. And then we have a pamphlet titled The History of Money. The History of Money, where we tell you about what's happened down through the centuries. And, of course, there's nothing new under the sun. They tried the same thing in ancient Greece, the same thing in ancient Rome. In fact, in about 301 A.D., Diocletian, the Roman Empire, tried to control the rapid inflation that had been created in Rome by putting in wage and price controls, just as Richard Nixon did back in 1971 when he took the world off the gold standard. And so our pamphlet, certainly the history of money, the pamphlet on the financial meltdown, and my talk on the Financial Tsunami are all available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you have not read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, you really need to get that, and you need to, you know, to understand how money is created based upon debt. It's all based upon debt, not upon gold, not upon anything of real inherent value, just upon debt. And, of course, then the book, it was written by a good friend, Professor Sutton, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. And Professor Sutton wrote two other books that we carry. One is Gold for Survival, and the other is Gold for Investment. And then, of course, the book Fiat Money Inflation in France, telling what happened in France in 1789, immediately after that, when they tried this sort of a system in France after the French Revolution. Sounded great. They seized all the property owned by the Catholic Church, and then they based their new currency on the land they seized, and that was the security behind the money that they issued. And the system worked pretty well, only eventually it fell apart, and after getting rid of course, the King of France and executing both the King and Marie Antoinette, his wife, they ended up with a new dictator, and his name was Napoleon. And so, I mean, they just went from one dictator to another. And it all had, in large part, to do with the financial system and the destruction of the morality of the people, because when people don't have to work for money and they get it for nothing, why, they lose a sense of value. And that's the story of fiat money inflation in France. As you read that book and see what's going on in America today, it's like deja vu all over again. Well, if you'd like to get these articles, these books, these pamphlets, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. But then, of course, we want to remind you, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or see the DVD. You need to see my talk on the Forbidden Secret. You need, of course, to get the four-tape set or the four-CD set, The Secret Behind the Secret. And then, of course, please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, because if we don't have a revival, we're never going to save this nation. And finally, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
News on the Information Radio Network. I'm Greg Moore. House Republican leader John Boehner says it would be irresponsible of Senate Democrats to load up a bipartisan economic stimulus plan with, quote, pork and other spending. The White House is pressing for quick action. Leaders in the House are worried that if the Senate attempts to rework the legislation, the deal could fall apart. Attorney General Michael Mukasey says he has no plans for a special prosecutor to investigate the CIA's destruction of terror interrogation tapes. Some lawmakers want an independent probe into the case. Mukasey won't say whether he's seen evidence that the destruction of the tapes broke any law. The Iraqi government planning to strike back in the northern city of Mosul following 2 days of bombings that left nearly 40 people dead. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki promises the fight in the city, quote, will be decisive. This is IRN.
Are you bothered by allergies?
Dave, somebody that's not.
Depending on where you live, your allergies probably range from bad to unbearable. You may not be aware, but allergies can cause colds and even flu symptoms, and that can lead to real problems. Then, of course, there's all the worldwide flu strains that can really wreak havoc on our immune systems. About all we can do is prepare ourselves in advance to fight against even the onset of these health problems and create within ourselves a second immune system. And that's where colloidal silver comes in. For centuries, it's been known that silver, and more recently the silver in colloidal silver, is an extremely powerful natural antibiotic. It's in stores, but you can actually make your own for far less than most places charge. Call 800-336-7000 and get your free brochure that explains it more fully. So keep the sneeze in season from overcoming your immune system. Call now, 800-336-7000, 800-336-7000, for your free info about colloidal silver, the best natural antibiotic known.
A hefty reward for a 9/11 tipster, drawing the attention of two other men, correspondent Rita Foley explains.
Clarence Prevost is a brand new multimillionaire, $5 million, apparently the first U.S. citizen to be rewarded by Washington for information related to the 9/11 attacks. He was an instructor at a flight school that Zacharias Moussaoui attended before 9/11, and he testified at Moussaoui's trial as a conspirator. But two colleagues say at the time he didn't even call the FBI. They say they did and were rewarded with a Senate resolution.
A juvenile court judge in Tennessee is expected to decide this afternoon whether to release a California teenager accused of plotting to hijack a plane from Los Angeles to Nashville. Authorities say the teen had handcuffs, rope, and duct tape in his bag when he was removed from the flight Tuesday evening. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNNews.com.
Have you ever thought about how to avoid becoming poor?
Your money, your future could be your answer. Dr. Larry Bates, well-known economist, former banker, best-selling author, political expert, gives you the heads-up on the lowdown of the coming economic crisis in this special DVD for only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Learn about the Fed, Social Security, even what assets to hold on to. Get your copy of Your Money, Your Future. Call 1-800-336-7000 and prepare yourself for what lies ahead. 800-336-7000.
Correspondent Warren Levinson reports the New York Times has endorsed Hillary Clinton and John McCain for president.
The Times praises both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, but asserts she's more qualified right now to tackle the huge problems the country faces. Obama, it says, needs to be more specific about how he would govern. Among Republicans, the paper says it has strong disagreements with all the presidential candidates, but that John McCain is an easy choice. McCain, the Times says, promises to end the George Bush style of governing from a small, angry fringe. The editorial rips New York's former mayor, Rudolph Giuliani, calling him narrow, obsessively secretive, and vindictive. New York is one of more than 20 states holding primaries February 5th.
A prosecutor in Michigan says she's opened an investigation into reports that the mayor of Detroit, Kwame Kilpatrick, and his top aide exchanged romantic text messages. The messages raised the question of whether the mayor and chief of staff Christine Beatty committed perjury during a whistleblower trial last summer. The prosecutor didn't elaborate on the specifics of her investigation, but says she was unaware of the text messages until she read a report in the Detroit Free Press yesterday. During last summer's trial, Kilpatrick and Beatty denied any sexual or romantic ties in 2002 and 2003, but the Free Press says it examined 14,000 text messages on Beatty's city-issued pager from those years and found a lot of evidence of such ties. A conviction of lying under oath can bring up to 15 years in prison. I'm Greg Moore, and that's news from the Information Radio Network.
This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
I want you to know that I'm very excited to be able to come together with you again here today on Viewpoint. Today, I believe that if you will stay tuned to the whole of today's program, you are going to be prepared for dramatic change in your life that is going to set the course for destiny. I really do believe that. And I want to urge you to stay tuned because, friends, here we are at the beginning of a new year, 2008, a fulcrum year for world history and prophecy, and a fulcrum year for your life. So stay tuned. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, talk that transforms, and I want you to know that your life matters. Your life matters. But I also want to ask you a question. What legacy are you leaving? What legacy are you leaving? Let's put this in context. In 1877, research was done into the life of a fellow by the name of Max Juke. He was a vocal atheist who lived a godless life and married an ungodly woman. Of his 540 direct descendants and more than 700 distant relatives, 310 of them were professional paupers, 7 were murderers, 60 habitual thieves, 130 frequently convicted criminals, only 20 of the 1,200 learned a trade, and 10 of those learned it in a state prison. Now let's contrast that. In 1898, another study was done to offset the findings about Max Juke. So Dr. Weinship selected Jonathan Edwards, a godly man who married a godly woman. Listen to his legacy. He was the founder of a family of more than 1,400 noblemen. More than 1,200 graduates of Yale were direct descendants. 13 became college presidents. More than 100 were college professors. Several descendants had been among the most illustrious men of their time. At least 100 became ministers. 75 became army officers. 30 were judges. 100 were lawyers. 80 became public officials. 3 became congressmen. 2 were U.S. senators. And 1 became vice president of the United States. So let me ask you again. What legacy are you leaving? Are you living your best life now, for now, or do you have a vision to leave a legacy for eternity? All that on Viewpoint here today. Your viewpoint is not neutral. We're going to talk about what kind of a legacy you are leaving. Our special guest today, Phil Muncy from Southern California, surviving the burning fires there of a couple of months ago. Phil, it's good to have you on the program.
Oh, Chuck, what an honor to be here. And it's a great thrill to be here to talk about such an important issue.
Well, it is. And as I read your book, Phil, I was excited. This is a concept, it's an understanding that has gripped my own heart and my own life. Going back, a good 30, 35 years, and I have been regularly conscious that what I do today not only impacts tomorrow, but may impact not only my life, but the lives of others 25, 50, and 100 years down the road. But it's an awful hard thing for a lot of people to get their mind around that in the context of a time when everybody's looking for what's in it for me today.
Yeah. Well, I think that one of the most powerful things about the book that I really wanted to grasp people's attention in the very beginning was what science has come along in the last 50 years. Now that we understand the DNA, we now know why the Bible talks so much about the blood and about descendants and about our seed. Because now we know, we didn't really know this, but until 50 years ago, we understand now that in every deed there is a seed, that our blood is responsible for taking our deeds, our character, our charisma, our chaos, and transferring it from one generation to the next, so that when Jesus was saying things like, what you're thinking about in secret will be shouted on the rooftop, that was not a threat, that was a fact. Everything about us matters. It's transferred from one generation to the next by design or default. And that's the passion of the Legacy Now message.
Well, I love so many of the statements that you've made in the book. It's just one line right after the other that grips you. An adventure. We're on an adventure into the past, present, and future of your life through the eternal eyes of legacy. It'll open a whole new dimension to your life's purpose. Legacy will lead you into the starring role of a drama for the ages, a role you will play. Legacy, a defining view of how we should live our lives right now. I love that language, starring role of a drama for the ages. That's a classic.
Well, I think that people need to know that in a culture that is very competitive, a lot of comparing, only a few appear to be the stars. There's only a few movers and shakers, while the rest of us are just faceless numbers and statistics, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
That because of the blood, because of the way that God designed us, we are playing a starring role. It may not be in Hollywood, it may not even be across the pulpit, but every one of us are playing out a drama that the Bible says in Acts 17, which is the premise of the book, that God has from one blood determined when we would be born, where we would be born, and in hope that we would grope and find the purpose of why we were born.
Well, surely you're not saying, though, that God has predetermined everything, every breath, every choice, every this, every that. He foreknows it, but has he predetermined all these things? Are we just puppets of a divine force somewhere?
No, I think the word of the scriptures is determined. In other words, I do believe that what we do with our life is our choice, but that when we would come and where we would come is very much a part of the strategy of God. I say this in the book. It has taken generations to make up the you that you are. And every one of them, every one of the, and I like to divide our legacy in two parts, iniquity and equity.
Mm.
We all carry stuff that we have to deal with, that generations in the past did not, that it becomes our responsibility to deal with them. Then we have the equity. That's the good that's been accumulated by our heritage, and we have a responsibility to do something with that.
Yeah.
So that's what I believe. I believe that God is intentional about when. I say in the book, it's a win-win. When you were born and that you were born and where you were born was determined by God.
Well, friend, this is going to be very exciting. This is going to lead us in a direction that could very well change your life, your whole viewpoint. Legacy links us to the eternal purpose of God, whether you're educated or not. That's not the issue. The concept of legacy, if we'll embrace this, that God has a plan and a purpose for us, and it's not just to feed ourselves tomorrow or today. Let's get on with it. We're going to make this book available to you after the break. Stay tuned.
Did you hear about the latest study from a Duke University sociologist? It's called Social Isolation in America, and it's been the talk of columnists and news articles everywhere. As one columnist wrote, the story could just as well have been called Friendless in America. One-fourth of all Americans admit they have no one to talk with about important matters. Another quarter say they have only one friend. What's missing? What's missing is good old-fashioned hospitality. Our hyper-individualism is actually killing us. That's why Chuck and Kathy Chrismeyer's recent book, The Power of Hospitality, is so important for you and all of us, even our churches. When 70% of pastors admit they have no friends, we're in trouble. So get your copy of The Power of Hospitality today for your gift of $16 to Save America Ministries. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. The Power of Hospitality will change your life. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA.
Hi, I'm Pam Dauber. Are you falling behind in school or at work because you can't keep up with the huge volume of reading that's required? Do you feel like you're drowning in a sea of reading? Introducing IQ, the revolutionary reading and comprehension program. Today's world is supercharged and competitive. And the fact is, those that can process information efficiently will be the ones to get ahead. You see, the average person reads about 200 to 300 words per minute. But after only 12 easy 7-minute IQ sessions, many people move from reading 200 to 2,000 words per minute. Imagine what you could accomplish reading and comprehending at that speed. Don't let another day go by allowing your reading skills to hold you back. Call IQ today.
Call now. We'll send you the complete IQ computer program free for 30 days. That's 1-800-242-8027. You cover a nominal shipping fee, and the program is yours to use and evaluate for 30 days. Call now, 1-800-242-8027. That's 1-800-242-8027.
Legacy that links us to the eternal purposes of God. That's what we're talking about here today on Viewpoint, realizing that your life matters. Whether you're educated or not, whether you have a background that you think is honorable or whatever, isn't really the issue. The issue is that God has a plan and a purpose for you, and He wants you to live it out. He wants you to live it out by faith, because that which is not of faith is sin. What legacy are you leaving? Well, maybe we ought to talk a little bit about the defining elements of legacy, but before we do, I want to make sure that we give you an opportunity to get a copy of Phil Muncy's book, Legacy Now, Why Everything About You Matters. Your gift of $22 or more to Save America Ministries is going to put this hardbound book in your hands. Just give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879. Richmond, Virginia, 23255. If you're writing a check, add $4 for postage and handling. We'll get the book in your hands. It'll be on our website, saveus.org. That's www.saveus.org, where you can listen to this program any time of the day or night, anywhere in the world. Phil, what is a legacy?
Well, in simple terms, it's living your life so that the relationships and resources that you have will live on. It's taking a strategic view of your life in the sense that you recognize that everything that you do, all your relationships, the things that you achieve, that it needs to be linked with a what I just simply say, a strategic commitment to link your resources through covenantal relationships to your generational responsibilities, which will result in an eternal reward. So it's just taking responsibility that everything matters about what we do today, not only eternity, but for the generations that follow us.
Well, I agree. You know, an awful lot of people these days, they're told to, on the one hand, from Christian leaders, live your best life now. From secular leaders, they're told to live your best life. It's the same theme. But we're losing the sense of eternity. It's all about now. It's all about me. And it seems that what you have done, you have taken the proper biblical road, and you have wedded these things together. It's not about living your best life now for now. It's about living in such a way that you make an impact for the future generations, for the Lord, and ultimately for eternity.
Absolutely. I think that there is a gap between when you look at, and I say this very positively because I know them both,
mm-hmm.
Purpose-Driven Life, Your Best Life Now. These are books to help people personal, in their personal life. But if you don't link your personal life to the eternal and generational, then there's a line I say in the book that says, everything about us matters. That's what the book is all about. But if you don't posture your life to transfer your values to the next generation, then nothing about you matters.
Yeah. In fact, living your best life now becomes nothing but sheer idolatry.
Certainly. Anything that we do, even our prayers, our church buildings, anything that we do, if it's not linked to the generations, which essentially, in one of the chapters I refer to, living between here and eternity, is the generational driven life, then nothing matters. The Bible tells us that there came a generation that knew not God.
Mm-hmm.
That simply meant that everything up until that moment was lost.
You know what we've discovered also, if you read the scriptures, you find that it only takes one generation to virtually lose it all.
Absolutely.
And God has no grandchildren.
Absolutely. That's the passion of this book. And in the sixth chapter, I have a very strong prophetic proclamation. It is the heart of this book. And it essentially is an indictment to this generation, my generation, the baby boomers, that our value system is about to go bust because we have lived a life that basically says, all about me, all about now. And as a result of that, the gap between our faith and our next generation is a serious gap. And it's going to need to start with right now people saying, okay, it's been enough about me and it's enough about now. We have to start thinking right now, quickly. This nation has to quickly think. We have to make decisions based on how will this affect the next generation. Everything we do has to be thinking about the next generation.
You know, because the church has followed the way of the culture and in many respects has become the leader in embracing the me generation aspect of the culture, we have actually taken the lead in breaking down the family in America to where in the last 10 to 12 years the divorce rate in the church has been equal to or exceeded the nation as a whole. The divorce rate in the Bible Belt of America is 50% higher than the nation as a whole, and the divorce rate among our pastors equals or exceeds that of their congregations and the nation as a whole, and is the second highest of all professions in the country. What kind of a legacy are we leaving when you say that covenant is at the very heart of legacy?
Well, I think that it is. And the thing that I'm trying to be careful with, not because of the thing I'm distinctive about, that is that right now describing the water, why people are drowning, is only half the solution. We have to offer hope. And I do attack strongly in this book, with as much grace as possible, because I minister in a culture that is the very hub of materialism. I'm
right
in the very hub of survival. Our people are trying to make it from day to day. They are in over their head. There's a little story in the book I tell, and it's based on a commercial that you see where a guy's a member of a golf club, got a nice home, nice car, looks like he's got everything going for him, and then he looks into the camera and he says, "Help me. Someone help me. I'm in debt over my head." Essentially, this is where our appetite for life has reached now and has begun to reach into the next generation's pocketbook. And we need some conviction. We need to stop and say, this mad has got to stop.
What I hear you saying is not only is this affecting our churches, our spiritual lives and legacy, but it's being translated into every fabric of American life and government, so that this massive, unbelievable, almost unmeasurable national debt that we now have built is actually the product of living your best life now and forgetting about a legacy for the future.
Absolutely, and this is a challenge that we have to face. And you refer to your best life now. That is the whole Osteen, Joe, who wrote that book. I just spoke there last week. That is a perfect example of that it takes a generation to build a church, because what most people see is 22 minutes every week that is essentially bait to a secular audience. But boy, when you go there and you see Mama and you see Dad's legacy that he left and all of the children who are there serving that cause and the fruit, but this is exactly what we have to deal with. We have to counter this culture that is intoxicated with itself, with no sense of obligation for the next generation. Boy, we got to change that.
Yes, we do, and I think it's going to take massive repentance. Education by itself is not going to do it. It's going to take revelation by the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives, and a whole new, fresh vision coming from repentance. That's what I see, Phil. But what's on the other side of that? If we don't just look at it as negative, repentance is not negative, it's the most positive word in the Bible.
Absolutely.
Because it's the only hope for salvation and the only hope for the future. And if we'll see it that way, then legacy takes on a whole new meaning, and there really is hope on the other side of all this dark message.
Absolutely. You know, repentance in one of its core meanings is to change your mind. And what I believe Legacy Now, the book, is, and I don't want to be presumptuous, but I believe it's a voice crying out in the wilderness saying, we have got to start thinking beyond ourselves and entice and lure people out of this. Because, you know, really, Chuck, most people, you don't really need to get them that defensive, because if you can get just close enough to them, you can recognize they're hurting. They are crushed. Most people are going through life, going through the motion without any emotion, and they need to hear. You know, when I hear you, Chuck, and the influence that you've had with you and your wife and your book and your call to get people engaged in healthy relationships, we are voices that I believe God is giving us an amplification that is going to help turn this nation around. And I just say to people that have been divorced, people that are single moms, all of those that are victims of the statistics of a culture that has spewed us out of its mouth and shown its negativity on our lives, it can change. When you look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ, it is pretty amazing to know that in that genealogy of Jesus were a lot of failures, a lot of people who would consider themselves non-players in the ability to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at it from a perspective of the grace of God, and this is what I love about the blood, I believe that when a person commits their life to Christ, and we toy with it in the book, and it's a little controversial, but I'm getting great feedback, and that is it possible, Chuck, that when people pray the sinner's prayer, and they really mean it, they say something with their mouth, and they believe it in their mind, but they link onto faith in their heart, that somehow between the head and the heart, a faith gene is triggered. Something happens.
Sort of a faith DNA, huh?
Absolutely, because here's what I believe. Look, now we know this. You see, we know now that if it's in the blood, it doesn't matter how positive you are, you're going to have to deal with the power of genetics. You're going to have to deal with your genes. We now know that unless something can happen to the very DNA of a person, it is going to be their will against the will and the power of the blood. But that's the good news of the gospel. That's why I think when we say we're saved by the blood, we're now on the cutting edge of science saying the change really takes place by the blood. And you know, Chuck, this is, you may not agree with this, and that's fine, this is your show, but I believe that there will be a day that they will be able to show the difference between a DNA snippet of a person who has been born again, truly born again, from their previous life. I believe conversion is that strong.
Well, maybe,
I believe we act different because we are different.
Phil, maybe that's part of the answer to a whole lot of theological quibbling that we can get into. One thing is certain, that there, because of the way the gospel is taught or not taught these days, one has to wonder whether the people that are in our churches truly are converted. Because all the statistics of all the polls for the last 15 years have said there's functionally no difference between the behavior and values of professing Christians and that of their secular counterparts. So that leaves a whole lot of talk for us, but maybe we won't want to get into that. But what we do want to do, friend, is pass along a legacy, and you've got to grasp this message, legacy, now. We'll talk more about it when we get back.
With news on the Information Radio Network, I'm Greg Moore. House Republican leader John Boehner says it would be irresponsible of Senate Democrats to load up a bipartisan economic stimulus plan with, quote, pork and other spending. The White House is pressing for quick action. Leaders in the House are worried that if the Senate attempts to rework the legislation, the deal could fall apart. Attorney General Michael Mukasey says he has no plans for a special prosecutor to investigate the CIA's destruction of terror interrogation tapes. Some lawmakers want an independent probe into the case. Mukasey won't say whether he's seen evidence that the destruction of the tapes broke any law. The Iraqi government planning to strike back in the northern city of Mosul following 2 days of bombings that left nearly 40 people dead. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki promises the fight in the city, quote, will be decisive. This is IRN.
Sometimes you feel like you're just a number. To the banks, the credit card companies, the lenders and financial institutions, you are just a number. Your credit score. And unless that number is above their standards, you get stuck paying more for everything. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. If you don't have perfect credit, banks will either take advantage of you or slam the door in your face. But I want to send you a free tape that shows you how my proven system will wipe the slate clean once and for all. My system doesn't just raise your credit score, it will permanently insulate your credit status so it can never come back to haunt you again. It works no matter how bad your credit is or how much debt you have. Call today and I'll send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system. You can hit the reset button on your credit score and wipe the slate clean. Let me show you how. Call right now to get my free tape. 1-800-900-1672. That's 1-800-900-1672. 1-800-900-1672.
With an IRN Business News Update, I'm Dick Shannon. In almost a decade since the Russian debt crisis of 1998, finance officials there have amassed an enviable war chest with the largest per capita currency reserves in the world, paying down nearly all sovereign debt. Russia now described as most insulated from ill effects of a U.S. economy. Russian officials and Moscow-based equity analysts have been strong proponents of decoupling, which holds that some developing nations are strong enough and self-sufficient in the face of the declining dollar and waning American influence to part ways with Washington economically amid a reorder of global finance. Asian exporters already feeling the effects of the American economic downturn, Chinese government imposing stricter labor laws and tighter environmental regulations while cracking down on corporate tax evasion and making it harder for companies to claim large rebates on the value-added taxes that they pay. Chinese officials also imposing export quotas to compete with clothing from higher-wage countries. With an IRN Business News Update, I'm Dick Shannon.
All right, my friends, we're dealing with something that is so critical here today for the future of your life that we dare not give it short shrift. Our special guest today, Phil Muncy, with his book Legacy Now, Why Everything About You Matters. We're talking about why your life matters and asking the fundamental question, what legacy are you leaving? Now, I want to make sure that you do not miss out on getting a copy of this life-changing book. It'll change your vision. You see, without a vision, the people perish. And if all you're doing is rushing about, remember, the hurrier you go, the behinder you get. And if all you're doing is taking Johnny to his soccer game and Susie to her ballet lesson and huffing and puffing and barely scratching through life, you're missing out on the joy and purpose of living. It's about living on purpose. It's about having a vision to establish a godly and goodly legacy, not only for the next 5 or 10 years, but 25, 50, and to eternity. This is big stuff, friends. And you know, it's taken generations to bring you where you are today. But your worth and responsibility are significant. Life is not just for living, it's also for leaving a legacy. And God is depending on you to fulfill that mandate. Do you agree with that, Phil?
I do, absolutely. It's my passion, and I just want to say to your viewers that it's not by chance that they're listening, and those that are a part of this movement, you are a voice, Chuck, that has to be heard. And I just want to say personally, I'm very honored to have my book on your program, and I just want to encourage the listeners, call in, get involved. This book will help you to perpetuate your passion and desire to make a difference. And you know, Chuck, in the book, I tell the story about, you know, I live out here in Southern California,
mm-hmm.
and I can't get to my church without passing Rick Warren's church. And that means on many occasions I'm stuck in traffic trying to get to my church. Why? I have hundreds come to mine. He has thousands that come to his. And it's easy to become judgmental or hurtful or negative, and I was just having one of those bad days. And
well, you know what? I got to warn you, it was envy that took Jesus to the cross, so be careful, brother.
Well, that's right. So, I was having one of those pouting days, and here's what the Lord really put in my heart, and I've had those too, where God just says, grow up, get over yourself. But this day, God was very gracious to me, and what he put in my heart was, you know, this thought came into my mind. I went home and I Googled it, and that is, you know, Rick Warren and Kay are fourth-generation preacher's kids. And the concept of legacy really shaped that day, because what God was saying to me is, everything matters. You're not running a sprint, Phil. If it was a sprint, you've already lost. They've already given the first place prize away. Everybody's gone home. But this isn't a sprint. This is a marathon that will be running on. You'll see the end on the other side of eternity. Everything matters. And that's when I realized it doesn't matter how many people come to my church. What matters, I'm running every lap with intensity and integrity, knowing that every lap I run, is one less lap my children will have to do. And well, that just erupted in me, and that's the passion behind this book.
Yeah, you know, as you were talking, my mind goes back to last January when my father passed away at the age of 92. He had just completed 70 years of ministry. 70 years of ministry, 50 as a pastor, and 20 in hospital chaplainship. And I spoke at his funeral, and the title was A Soldier of the Cross. Now, that was my father. He started in the Salvation Army. He didn't stay there, but he was in the, started in the Salvation Army. Both of his parents were Salvation Army officers. On my mother's side, her parents were both Salvation officers as well. And so there is an incredible legacy going back. And I don't know how far back it goes beyond that. But our lives matter. Whether or not we appear successful is not the issue. The issue is whether we're fulfilling God's intended purpose for our life to set the stage for what God wants to do in the next generation. This is powerful.
Exactly. And I think that our listeners need to be encouraged that no matter what level they're at, no matter where they are at in their life, that they are a link and that everything does matter. And I want to go back to a couple things that I think become very important when you bring up legacy.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, for parents who have adopted children and those that have been adopted. I address this in the book because the underlying theme of the book, Chuck, as you well know, is about covenant.
Right.
And when you come into covenant, whether this is, and to me a covenant is simply described, and I describe it in the book, is this statement. A covenant is a promise made to God, is a promise, rather, made with God as a witness.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we go around saying, I promise I'm going to do this. But when you make a covenant, you're doing it with God as a witness. And we don't know the values of covenant in our culture. That's why our marriages are failing. That's why relationships are failing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come into a covenant, you create a bond that is supernatural. Let me explain it in the Bible. Abraham is called the father of the Jewish nation.
Mm-hmm.
We all sing, Father Abraham had many sons.
Right.
But you know, Abraham was not a Jew.
No, he wasn't.
Abraham was a Chaldean. But his covenant with God gave him the right to be the father of the Jewish nation. It, even as the Gentile church grafted in, we are adopted. So here's what I tell adopted parents and children. Through your covenant, you get the inheritance. You get the legacy of that generation. And I'm going to tell you, you talk about a counterattack against abortion. When believers will adopt a child who comes from what could be a very bad legacy, much like Rahab, the prostitute in the Old Testament, when we go into darkness and adopt children, it is the most powerful force of changing a generation. And so I want to encourage those that are listening that if you are adopted, or that if you have adopted children, nothing lost. Your covenant links you to a legacy.
You know, I think one of the problems with adoption is that the adopted child always wants to hark to the past, whereas the concept of legacy causes us to focus on the future and our covenant with God, for with God nothing shall be impossible. That's what corrects the negativity that is often lurking in the adoption.
Well, absolutely, and I do believe that a covenant, when we take children and we form covenants, this is where I believe that we do not understand the power of covenant. And
mm-hmm.
I deal with in the book about marriage because I believe that marriage is the foundation of legacies. And when I say that, I know there's single people, and I want to say to single people, you need to be supportive of marriage. You need to be a help to people in marriage. I offer a couple revolutionary ideas in the book, and one of them is we need to encourage our young people to think about marriage sooner and recognize that marriage is not a liability, it's an asset.
Mm-hmm.
Two are better than one. And I'm a little frustrated with the idea that we ask our young people to get it all together financially, emotionally, every which way. And I'm not talking about 16-year-olds now. I'm talking about 18 to 30-year-olds
right.
are taking way too much time because they're looking for their life to be perfect and somebody else's, when I believe that marriage is the perfecting work. It is a fact. Those who get married younger are lasting longer. And there's another thing in here, Chuck, that I mention in the book. The longer a generation waits to have children, the wider the gap between the grandfather and the grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a little known scripture in Samuel that says, there shall come a curse upon Israel where there will be no old men in the house.
Friends, this is a very life-shaking, shaping book. Legacy Now, you got to get it. Your gift of $22 or more to Save America Ministries, it's going to completely revolutionize your life and your future. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA.
The promised land was straight ahead. God had a showdown with Earth's greatest power broker, Pharaoh, demanding he release God's son Israel from the bondage of Egypt. But after 40 years in the wilderness, the Lord could never get the spirit of Egypt out of his children. Only 2 out of 600,000 male descendants of Abraham were allowed into the promised land. Does this apply to us? Over 400 times from Genesis to Revelation, we find the theme, out of Egypt. The Apostle Paul said, all these things happen to warn us upon whom the ends of the world are come. Yet, American Christians, on the near edge of the second coming, are living in the spirit of Egypt as never before. That's why Chuck Chrismeyer's new book, Out of Egypt, is essential. Get your copy of Out of Egypt today for your gift of $17 to Save America Ministries. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Build End Time Trust for End Time Trials. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-584-1095.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security checks. Over the past decade, the tax team at J.K. Harris has successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-584-1095. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-584-1095. That's 800-584-1095.
We're becoming Christians that count for the kingdom today, discipling for destiny, as we talk about how you and I can lead or leave a legacy. I want to make you aware that your life matters. You are not just some little stone out, pebble out there in life that makes no difference. Your life matters. It matters to God, and it matters to those in your sphere of influence, and the spheres that you haven't yet had the vision to see are going to be affected or already are being affected by your life. What legacy are you leaving? Our special guest today on Viewpoint, Phil Muncy, with his book Legacy Now. Phil, there is a very real sense, though, in which we are going to leave a legacy one way or the other. The question is not whether we're going to leave a legacy, but what kind of a legacy we're going to leave.
Absolutely. Legacy is, the book is designed to encourage people to leave a legacy and help them understand how they can leave a legacy. But the bottom line is, by design or default, legacy is a consequence, not a choice. And so my passion is to get everyone, and I hope and pray that other books will be written about this, because this is more than a book to me. It's a prophetic blast. It needs to resonate. And quite frankly, I'm pleased with the baby boomers that are turning 60. Every 6 seconds in America, someone's turning 60. And when you get to that age, you can do the math. You see that your life is more lived than less.
Yeah, where have I been and where am I going, and what's the difference?
Exactly. And there is a real vulnerability to the baby boomers that I'm encouraged with. And I hope that this is one of many books that people will begin to say, you know what, I've had enough things. I've had enough power. I've had enough possession. And I've made a name, but am I going to leave a name? And I believe there's an eruption, and that's why I believe, like, your ministry, Save America, I want to encourage you that I believe that the people are ready for hope and direction to see this nation changed. I believe every one of those baby boomers are awakening every day to a life that says, what really does matter? And I think that this nation, and if I didn't believe this, Chuck, I would go find a cave and just wait it out with beans and rice. But I believe the reason why God has you on the radio is because today, somebody, tomorrow, somebody else, next week, hundreds, are going to hear the sound that says, let's get it together.
Mm.
Let's change the course. And I believe one of the keys is, on the cover of my book, is two sets of legs, a father and a son. And I think that it's the visual image that in every deed there is a seed. Even while people are listening to the car, in their car radio right now, or on the internet, that they need to realize that in every action, every attitude, that it is magnificently being transferred to the next generation, whether it's biological or whether it's your church children, your extended family's children. Everything is going to be transferred. What do you want transferred?
You know, so often when we think of the word legacy, probably the first thing that comes to people's mind is money, leaving a stash of money. And that is important, particularly if you've properly prepared people for using it for kingdom purposes. But you have cast a far bigger vision here for legacy that finds its greatest root in relationships and covenant.
Absolutely. The book is divided in five sections. One is the legacy of faith. Without that, none of the other four matter.
Mm-hmm.
Then the legacy of your family. This is building good, solid families. And then the third is dealing with finances. And there is an element of that that's very important.
Sure.
And then we've got to deal with our former life. These are the things of which we didn't get much chance to talk about. But
we're going to talk about them in the next few minutes.
Yeah, just dealing with the iniquity, dealing with the negative stuff, dealing with the stuff the enemy has been trying to use to destroy your legacy. And then lastly, we deal with the future life, how to recognize. And I love this statement. I believe God gave it to me, but legacies are what dreams become. I believe America needs to go beyond just dreams, because most dreams are schemes.
You're right.
Another way of padding up your own self-interest and your ego trip.
Mm-hmm.
Really, dreams, they may entice you to think it's about you. It's about your desires. But when a God dream, because I say in the book, all dreams are God's property. They come from God. And when a dream gets done with you, it grows up and becomes a legacy with overhauls on.
Mm.
A legacy is a dream all grown up. I say legacy is purpose all grown up. All of these words that we've been using in the boomer, baby boomer generation, dreams, purpose, destiny, they are all just first grade level of growing us into what essentially will become a legacy.
All right, well, let's take those. Here we have a whole generation since the 60s. The spirit of rebellion swept through America and through the church, completely revolutionized our theology, distorted the image of God, transformed the way we looked at life, from looking at life for eternity to looking at your best life now. All of this has been the heritage, or you might say even the legacy, of 40 years of living. Now, here you are calling for a much bigger, a radical change. You're saying we cannot continue to focus in that, and yet we have this terrible baggage that has been sown. You see, you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. Does that mean that people who have been involved in these real problems, been sowing to the wind or reaping the whirlwind, is there no hope for any viable, meaningful spiritual legacy?
Well, that's the great news. The book, one of the chapters is called Spot Removers for Genes. And it is the hope of the gospel. It is that God can take your iniquities. That is the biblical term for sins that are transferable to the generations. And Jesus came to stop that. By the blood, he can stop the iniquity. He can tell the Rahab, you're a prostitute, but you can turn it around and you can become a part of the genealogy of Jesus. He has the ability by faith to break these curses and the course of actions that have gone on. And I'm not real mystical about it, Chuck. I just believe that it comes with the cross package.
All right, well, here's what you say in the book, and I really love this. Removing the curse was Christ's job. Correcting your course is your job.
Yes.
That is so critical, because there are a lot of people out there that have a false idea of the sovereignty of God, that think he's just a divine puppeteer out there. And not only did he get rid of the curse, but he's going to manipulate your life, and everything's wonderful, and everything's cool, and he's going to do it all. You don't have to do anything. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Absolutely. We have a mind that even when we get a new heart, we still have to live in the same house. And we've got to set some course changes. And so there is great hope. And in Chapter 6, I really deal with how to face some of these issues in your past and have confidence in the cross that God can turn your iniquity, in fact, and not only forgive it, but I really believe God can even take your iniquity and he can make all things work to good. He can take our past sins. You know, there's a story in there about a girl, Catherine, that had an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Now she has a home for mothers with children. She has counseling. She has saved tens of thousands of mothers from getting an abortion.
So God has taken the agony and sin of her past and
yes,
redeemed it for his kingdom purposes in the future.
And that's the part that just breaks my heart in a good way, because I get so many people, they don't have the legacy that I have. I'm a third generation preacher's kid. They don't have the legacy of some of the other great men and women that we respect. But I'm going to tell you, when you look in the genealogy of Christ, Matthew 1 and Luke, when you see you're in there, everybody can have a chance to make a difference. And I want to say to your listeners today, boy, get this book, invest in Save America, embrace some of these areas, and know that God can take your iniquity and he can transfer it and make it your pain, somebody else's gain, if you'll turn it into ministry. And then those of you that have a godly heritage, and this country has a godly heritage, and we can't squander it. We cannot squander our equity. Somebody had on the back of their RV, we're spending our children's inheritance now.
Wow.
Very funny, but not very assuring. Our country, I want to say to our Christian community, you could live off of the equity of the forefathers all your life, but you'll have nothing for your children. Get up. Get to a godly church. Get up. Get behind godly ministries. Get up and sacrifice and leave something on the table for the next generation.
Mm.
Don't take all the equity that our forefathers have sacrificed and eat through it, run through it like it's water. But say, what am I going to leave at the table? And legacy now, Save America, We're voices that are ready to help do something for you to make a difference in your listeners.
All right,
I just want to encourage them to get on board.
I just appreciate that so much, Phil, because you've captured in many respects the heart of this ministry. Oftentimes it comes across very strong, very prophetic, wooing and warning, but behind it all is the positive vision that we can see God's glory restored. We can see His blessing, and we can see His kingdom come, and we can be part of it. Friend, you make the choice, and God will help you make the change. You make the choice, and God will help you make the changes that are necessary. See, you can't choose your legacy, but you choose to embrace the things that God has called you to do and to be, and He will create that legacy for you, and you're going to walk it out, and what a blessing it'll be. Get a copy of the book, Legacy Now. Your gift of $22 or more to Save America Ministries will put this hardbound book in your hands, transforming, life-transforming. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Add $4 for postage and handling. Get it on our website, saveus.org, and become a partner with us. Help us as we continue to try to cast the vision for such a legacy till Jesus comes. Send your gifts by faith.